Hit it. Welcome to the Bow Rollers Podcast for the week of August 8th, 2009, episode 20, Getting Their Feet Wet.
I'm Cody.
And I'm Nick.
And Nick's back actually this week. It's pretty nice. How was your beach time?
Good. Very relaxing. It was good stuff.
Get some sun?
Yeah, plenty of sun. No internet though. But it's all good. When you're at the beach, you don't need it.
Yeah, I wish I was at the beach for a week. That's not the point. The point of today's episode is to talk about video games. And me and Nick were having a heated conversation online last night, which, by the way, if you ever have the opportunity to have a heated conversation over IM chat, never do it because it is annoying as all hell. But me and Nick were having a conversation at which is better, the Wii or the 360, and I don't even know how we got on the conversation. I don't know how it ended, but I think one topic we really want
to... Well, hold on. I don't really think that that's what our conversation was about. It was more...
That's how it started.
Right. But it was more about if the Wii is still doing okay, I guess.
Yeah. And basically, what our conversation boiled down to is downloadable games on the Xbox 360 versus downloadable games on the Wii via Xbox Live Arcade versus WiiWare and Virtual Console. And Nick, I'm going to let you start because you had a lot of good points.
Well, here was my point. My point is game – take out the extra bells and whistles aside, strictly games that can be bought on disc are probably, I think, relatively comparable to each other. They each have very specific – like games that can't be found on the other console, and they both have their share of very good games. The thing with the Wii is it has a lot of really good games and a lot of really shit games. The 360, it does have its share of both, but like most games tend to be kind of in the middle towards the top, especially lately with games like Gears of War 2 and I mean, a whole bunch of new stuff that's flooded onto the Xbox 360 lately. That's really good. But I think they're still relatively comparable because they both have some really, really strong games on them. The 360 might beat the Wii out just a little bit because of the enormous number of crap, total crap third-party titles that the Wii has.
Agreed.
But, I mean, on the other hand, there's a lot of pretty decent third-party titles on the Wii, too. So game for game, like disc-wise, it's pretty close because they both have really good games. But the 360 might just slightly beat it out because of its huge number of good games in the past years, especially ones that make good use of Xbox Live.
Right.
But downloadable is when we really started talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, Xbox Live Arcade is great. They have a lot of classic games. They have updates to older games and stuff like that. And, I mean, even the interface is probably better. But when you're talking game-for-game download-wise, I really think that the Virtual Console on the Wii is the best downloadable gaming service out there on any console right now, simply because of the huge amount of awesome Nintendo games that have appeared on Nintendo consoles.
You know, I feel like each one has their strong suit, and I don't really consider the Xbox to be that much of a like old school game seller, because I think the only one that really did sell ported games was the Street Fighter II HD Remix. But I would say for originality, the 360 definitely wins in downloadable content. And yeah, there are a lot of games that you can download on the VC, but it's the same thing as that there are a lot of games you can buy for the Wii, but the Xbox has more quality games. You know, I just feel like there's a lot of crap that's on the VC
Well,
that shouldn't be on there in the first place. Like, yeah, I will agree that there are a lot of great games, but not only is there a lot of stuff you will never buy, let alone never even heard of, but I feel like the virtual console is selling nostalgia and that's it.
Yeah, but think of all the fantastic games that are on the virtual console. I mean, I checked this morning. There's currently 81 available NES games.
Plus, there's like almost 200 games on the virtual console alone.
Yeah, plus there's a ton of Super Nintendo games, probably somewhere in the 60s. N64 still only has like 20, but like they have stuff from the TurboGrafx, the Neo Geo, the big seller, the Sega Genesis, which is like a huge thing because that's something that Nintendo didn't necessarily have the claim to fame on. You know, Xbox could have probably easily have picked up Sega Genesis games Nintendo did, but Sega decided to put them on the virtual console instead, which is interesting. It has Master System games, and now the Wii is starting to sell, just starting to sell old arcade games, which is something that Xbox Live Arcade has been known for, especially when it comes to old Atari games. Namco Bandai seems to be really behind this new thing. They've already released some of their stuff. I think as far as the three different downloadable services go, I think that the virtual console just has a selection that can't be beat.
But I still think I don't know. I see where you're coming from and that the selection of the Wii is great. And there's a lot of great games on there. But like I said, I feel like it's selling you nostalgia and that if you want original good content, you should go to the Xbox Live Marketplace, especially with games like Explosion Man. Have you heard about this?
No. I understand that. But also you have to realize that original content on the Xbox Live Arcade has been around since – I don't know. It's been around since around the 360 launch, right? But whereas WiiWare is still relatively new and does have a good share of great games.
Yeah, but a lot of the WiiWare stuff is like ports. Because, I mean, you have – or not ports, but it's not technically original. Like you have Strong Bad's episodes, which come straight from the HomestarRunner.com website. You have the one that I download, which is like Defend the Castle, which is straight out of a Flash game.
Right.
I just feel like that the 360 has more original content.
Well, you have World of Goo, which was rated one of the best games of last year.
Yeah,
a port. You're right. It is a port.
I wouldn't say that's a port. I would just say that's on multiple – because I wouldn't say it's a port. I would say it's on multiple consoles or multiple platforms.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
We could have
I just
for hours.
Really – you can obviously see Microsoft's problem here because they've only been in the gaming industry for like 6 years or so.
2001 that, when they started, I think.
Yeah, like that's not a whole lot of time to jump in. But I mean, Nintendo's been in the business for a long time, so they have a huge back catalog that they can throw on there. And I mean, I can see how Microsoft is scavenging for games to get on there. Like, I know they had like the arcade port of Contra. Or not the port, the original version of Contra on Xbox Live Arcade, but that's not the version of Contra that everybody remembers. The NES version of Contra is the one everybody remembers, and that's available on the virtual console. Oh, not yet.
Like the other three Contras are, the original Contra is not.
Right, which I don't understand. Stupid. But like, I mean, Nintendo does have the rights to that, so. I don't know. It's interesting. They both definitely have a good share, but I don't know. I think we need to get going on something else.
Yeah. Okay, now, this is a pretty big story. This was actually sent to me over Facebook by Chris, who was on last week. PS3 is now 70% cheaper to make, could mean price cuts. So apparently during a Sony conference call, the CEO announced that it now costs Sony $240 to make a PS3. Which is 70% of what it used to cost, which was $800. And holy shit, dude, $240 to make that thing, that's pretty damn cheap.
Yeah. I think most of it's due to the fact that Blu-ray players are significantly going down in price. And since the PS3 is built around the Blu-ray player, I can understand why the PS3 would be going down in price too. So I wonder if they're going to get a price cut. I mean, one of the biggest problems with the PS3 at first was that it was so damn expensive. I wonder if more people will start buying it if it gets cheaper.
Here's the thing. I could see a price cut, and I couldn't see a price cut. The reason why I could see a price cut is because Sony really wants to get PlayStation 3s out in the market. But some part of me tells me Sony is not going to make a price cut just because of the fact that they've lost so much money on this console, they really need to get it back. The other thing is that there is rumored to be a Slim. There's been pictures of it. So it's probably going to be coming out in September. And it would not surprise me if they come out with the Slim at the same price the PS3 is now, and then the PS3s now will get a price cut. That does not surprise me at all.
Yeah. There's no reason not to do it.
Right.
Make it more competitive with the Wii, I think.
Yeah.
Nintendo really doesn't seem like they're dropping the Wii's price anytime soon. So, I mean, and the 360, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell exactly because there's so many different versions of it. But, I mean, it's definitely coming down in price from what it originally was.
Right. And we actually speaking of the 360, they're actually thinking of getting rid of the Pro version and just having the Arcade and the Elite, which I know I suspected they're going to drop the price of the Elite. But that's not the point here. What really shocks me is it takes $240 to make a PS3. It takes $200 to make a Wii. Why can't the Wii either be cheaper or more powerful? That just seems bullshit to me.
Yeah, no, well, here's my idea. The Wiis are still selling like hotcakes. I mean, why drop
the
price?
No, they're not. They're actually starting to decline.
Right, but not so much that – I don't know. I think Nintendo should probably do a price cut fairly soon. Drop it down to like 200, 180-ish.
They could probably drop it down to 150 easy. I honestly don't – I think it costs less than $200 to make. I think they're lying to us.
Oh, I'm sure it costs less than
$200. It probably takes probably $100, $125 to make.
Right, but see, unlike the other companies, Nintendo tends to want to make the profit off the console and not just the games.
Which is such a stupid idea. Because like, they were one of the original companies that had the idea of sell the console cheap and make money off games. This is completely hypocritical of them.
Yeah, no, I know. But it's been something that they've been doing since the Wii. I mean, when the three systems first launched, the only system not being sold at a loss was the Wii.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll have to see about the price cuts in the future. And, I mean, so many people have already bought consoles now that – will price cuts make that much of a difference in people's decisions to buy them or not?
Well, here's the thing. Is I feel like if a lot of what the Wii was based on was if you go over to your friend's house and play it, you're like, this is really fun. I want to get one. Most of the time, people would go out and get one. But if they didn't, it was probably because of the price. Because no, especially nowadays, no one can really afford $250 to waste. I feel like if they were to drop the price $100, even though the market's already saturated enough, they probably could still sell a decent amount of them at $150.
Yeah, true. Huh, so interesting. What else do we got?
Yeah. Okay, next one is that Xbox 360 Games on Demand won't feature new games. Now, if you don't know, in 3 days on August 11th, we're recording this on Saturday, on August 11th, there will be a new update to the Xbox console, which will allow – there's Netflix updates. There's Avatar updates. But one thing they're going to do is they're going to get rid of the – it's like a classic game collection, which you can buy old Xbox games. They're going to be creating a Games on Demand feature, which will allow you to download not only those old games, but will also allow you to download 360 games. But the problem with this is that they will not be able to sell you a new game on the date that it comes out. They're touting that some of the games they will have are Assassin's Creed, BioShock, and a couple others. But they're saying that they're a long ways away from being able to allow you to download games on the same day that their retail partners are releasing it. And as this article says, and as Nick pointed out, that's because they don't want to screw over their retail partners.
Yeah, they pissing off GameStop now by selling brand new games online would not be the best idea for them.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a great idea, but like it almost makes me wonder if I'm paying the same price for a game on demand or in the store, if I'm paying the same price for that game, why wouldn't I just want to buy the disc version of the game instead of having to fill up my hard drive with a game?
Well, see, there's a couple things. One, gas. Two, you don't have to leave the house. I guess if you have a fast enough connection, you can download it pretty quickly. But I would say is that if they do the same thing that Steam does, in that you have a catalog and you can kind of download and delete whenever you like, as long as it's still on your account, then there's no reason not to get this. I mean, you could also do the same approach that the Wii has done with like manuals and stuff, and just have it be like a menu setting.
No, I understand that, but like given the choice, if I had, say, I mean Gears of War 2, let's go back to because it's a great game. Say if I had the choice to go out, pay $60 to buy Gears of War 2, or buy it online and have it fill up X amount of space on my hard drive,
Right.
I would probably go out and get the disc version of it and save the hard drive for stuff like classic games and memory.
Right. And the other thing is that I wish the console people knew this, is that if they should be wanting to sell you the game for cheaper, because not only will they sell them more, but it entices people to buy them down to buy them online, which is better for the developers because people can't download them on the computer and try to hack them. They can't share them with friends. There's no such thing as borrowing in that situation. I think if console and what this what if console company if console makers start to realize this, and game companies start to realize this, then that helps everyone, because then we get to buy games for cheaper. And although you can't borrow it, you're still probably likely to go over a friend's house and play the game anyways.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I can definitely see it catching on, but I think it might be a little too early to go
Yeah.
completely digital with this stuff.
But,
But
well,
I mean, good for them for getting their feet wet in the idea.
yeah, at least they have games that are like 2 years old. Like BioShock came out in, what was it, September of 07. At least they have games that are 2 years old instead of Nintendo, which has games that are 20 years old,
Yeah, right.
huh? But yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from with the space issue, because one thing that you can do with the 360 is that you can actually rip your game disc to the hard drive, so that all you have to do is have the game disc in the CD drive, and then it'll play, so that it recognizes you have the game, and then it'll play right off the hard drive, which also not only reduces the noise of the console because it doesn't have to spin, but also reduces power because it doesn't have to actually use the CD drive. I do see the reason of saving space, though. But next, we need to move on. Next story is that the next generation of consoles are expected to be all software, more are going to be more leaps in software than hardware. And I completely agree with this.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting point. It's because it's something that's been argued across by different game developers forever. One developer shows off some shiny new graphics, the next developer's response is, "Yeah, so what games are you going to make for it? And are they going to be good or are they just going to be shiny?" You know? And it's been something that's been hugely debated forever. Back in the day of the NES and Sega Genesis before the Super Nintendo came out, a lot of people argued that, yeah, Sega Genesis games look good, but Nintendo still has the best catalog of games,
Right.
even though they're 8-bit versus 16-bit back then. And I mean, the Sega Genesis graphics were miles ahead of anything on the NES.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I mean, it's been a debate a long time. So, where do we go from here almost? We have almost photorealistic football simulation games and games that literally make you feel like you're in the middle of a battlefield. I mean, there's just so much in games now. It's just we have the ability to do it. Just what do we do with all this power?
Right. And I actually think, aside from the Wii, the 360 and the PS3 are really getting to the point where you can't make any graphical improvements that are going to be so noticeable that you're going to want to buy a new console out of it. And I've actually heard people say that what game developers need to stop doing is they need to stop creating a lot of pre-rendered graphics, which is what a lot of them are doing, because these consoles are so powerful that they can really do a lot of post-processing stuff and still look as good, and that they shouldn't put all their time into how it looks and put more time into the engine and game development itself so that it's more stable, it's better quality, and it still looks as good. And I feel like, that's exactly what we need to do.
This was the total premise that the Wii was built on. The problem, the Wii, see, here's my concern though. But this is the premise that the Wii was built on. I remember Nintendo saying it's not about the graphics, it's about the gameplay. And I totally get that. But the thing is, here we are, what is it, like 3 years since the Wii is launched?
3 years
And
November.
yeah, and that not it's not that the Wii just looks outdated. It's not just about the look of the game.
It feels outdated.
It's about the power behind it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like if you it's fine if it doesn't look like gorgeous, but if you can't have certain gameplay elements because of the system's limited
Right.
power, that's when it becomes a problem.
And you were talking about how it kind of looks outdated, but I also feel like some of the games really feel like they're outdated. Like we've had motion control for almost 3 years now, and it still feels so clunky and crappy. Now, granted, I have not used the Wii Motion Plus, and I bet you that makes a world of difference. But the fact that all games made before the Wii Motion Plus aren't going to utilize it, it's a pain in the ass.
Well, I mean, I mean, how would you make it backwards compatible? It
No.
really doesn't make sense.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is that I feel like even though the Wii was touted as being motion control and everything from the start, there were a lot of no, granted, there were some games that felt really good with the motion control. Wii Sports is one of them, Legend of Zelda was another one, but there are just some games that felt really bad, especially Red Steel. Like, sword actions sucked in that game.
Yeah, but like I said, Nintendo was the first one to dip their hands in, to use an expression from before. They were getting their feet wet, you know? It just, that was the first step into it. And I mean, it's obviously something that can be built on from here, you know what I mean? I mean, like playing the NES now, you can't argue and say the graphics suck because compared to what we have now, of course they do. But the Wii was the first step in that direction, and it's just a matter of advancing it, something like Project Natal. It's just taking what Nintendo already started and just running with it. You know what I mean? I'm sure Nintendo is going to want to push it even further.
Well, we completely got off topic from software leading next generation.
Yeah, but I think people are smart enough now. I mean, before, especially in the 90s, all everybody cared about was how good a game looked, how pretty it was, you
Right.
know. But I think we're smarter than that now. I think we realize that just because the game looks good doesn't mean at all that it's a great game.
I don't think that's it. I think we've gotten to the point where games will not look any better, and people just expect them to look good in the first place, and
Well,
they're
I think,
looking for other things.
see, people have thought that for a long time, though. I mean, when the N64 came out, we're like, how can games look any better than this? Enter the Xbox and the GameCube. We're like, oh my God, this looks great. How can games look better than this? We have another system now, and we're like, how can games look better than this?
I'm
I
pretty
think
sure
games.
games can look better on the Wii. Just saying.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, even on the 360 and PS3, I think games can always look better. It's just a matter of if you need them to look better in order to make a better game.
Here's the thing, in that, yes, they can look better, but as the point has been made many times by many analysts, if we do make them look better, are they going to be that significant that people are going to want to buy them?
Well,
Like,
I'm just saying, they're not. I mean, we still haven't gotten to photorealism yet.
yeah, but do you want photorealism? Do we're starting to reach that uncanny valley where the more realistic a game gets, the more creepy it looks.
Right, exact. But I'm just saying, this is the exact same argument that we were having last generation, too, about the GameCube, Xbox, and PS2. We're saying these games look fantastic. Do we need them to look any
I
better?
don't think anyone was saying that. I think
Was,
now we're saying that.
no.
I don't want games to look better than like Gears of War. I mean, it looks good. I think when Heavy Rain comes out for the PS3, even if, you know what, I gotta say, I'd rather have games look as good as Gears of War than Heavy Rain. Because in that genre of fighting, you don't want games to look as good as Heavy Rain, because it's just gonna be creepy.
Yeah, but like I said, you got to put yourself in the time of when the console was made. It always seems like like every time a new console comes out, it's like, oh my God, we've never seen anything like this. This is ridiculous. How can you go any further from here? I know I thought that about the GameCube. I mean, when I saw...
Really? You thought
about that? When I bought NBA Courtside 2002 for the GameCube, I'm like, this is incredible. They look like real people. And now I look back and laugh. And I think we're going to be looking back and laughing at games like Gears of War and Heavy Rain 10 years from now.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, call me 10 years from now. We'll talk about the bad graphics on Gears of War.
Okay. We'll do.
All right. Because it's going to get to a point where it's just pushing more and more towards photorealism, and I think we still have a long ways to go.
I don't want photorealism, to be honest with you.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying, like I said before, this is the same argument that people have been having for generations, but it's all right. Well, we got to move on now.
Yeah. Okay, next story. Console modder faces up to 10 years in prison. So apparently this dude was modding consoles, and he was modding them to play pirated software, and he was selling them on the street, and he got busted. He was 27 years old and taken into custody, served up to 10 years is going to be serving up to 10 years in jail. Is this a little harsh for console modding, 10 years?
Well, I don't think the problem that they had was the fact that he was console modding. I mean, people do it all the time. It was the fact that he was making a profit off of his mods, and his mods were allowing consoles to play copyrighted games. Like, it was just it wasn't like a mod that allowed something to play DVDs or something, or something that like it couldn't already do. It was a mod that allowed consoles to be able to play pirated games, and he was selling those consoles at a profit. So I mean, I can understand kind of where they're coming from.
Like, I understand why he got arrested.
Might be a little harsh, but
I understand why he got arrested. I mean, this is obviously illegal, but I feel like 10 years is just a little harsh. I mean, unless they just want him to go into jail until the next generation of consoles come out, and then
he's
completely lost. He doesn't.
I would expect more of a hefty fine for something like that than 10 years in prison, but
he got 10 years in prison and then was it $5,000 in bail?
Which, yeah.
Seriously, $5,000 for – no. I mean, seriously, you can go online. Like, I've had friends who have gone online and figured out how to pirate their – basically mod the software on the 360 and be able to download games right to it, like using BitTorrents and stuff. Like, why don't people hosting that kind of information get taken down?
Oh, well, I'm sure they get taken down, but, I mean, they're not making a profit off of it. Plus, there's not a lot of people out there that are technically proficient enough to want to go that far in order to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So having the information isn't as bad as actually taking someone's console and doing it for them.
Yeah.
But I can understand what you're saying. What do we have next?
Okay. Valve is studying sign language for a deaf Half-Life character. So apparently, in the next Half-Life episode, there will be a character who plays an important role in one of the existing characters' history, and he will be able to sign, which that's freaking awesome. I wish more companies put this much time and effort into not only studying like how to make their characters look better, but can you imagine like how graphically detailed this must be to understand how a character is supposed to sign perfectly? That's pretty freaking awesome.
Like I was saying, this is something that could not have been done even just last generation.
Hold on. Define last generation.
Last generation being Xbox, PS2, GameCube.
Before 2005, you're saying? Before the 360 was released?
Yeah.
Okay, Half-Life 2 came out in 2004 and was able to – you could move any part of the model's body.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is having a character programmed to do finger signals is – I don't know. I'm just saying it's something that requires a lot of graphics because you need to get individual finger movements and stuff like that. Two generations ago on the N64, when characters' hands were just big blocks, that was never going to happen.
Yeah.
Last generation, they slowly began to move away from that. But, I mean, it could still only handle so much power. This is one of those things that, like I was saying, it's not about how it looks. It affects the gameplay. So
No, but what I'm saying is that I don't think it doesn't have to do with like yeah, the game has to have decent graphics, it has to look crisp, but the fact that the person can move their fingers has nothing to do with graphical power. That also to do with the choreography of the character itself and the modeling.
Right, I know, but you have to. What I'm saying is, all the fingers are separate. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot more to it than just, oh, move your fingers. You know what I mean?
No, I really, that's what I'm saying, is that it has
The
nothing.
console has to be able to process all of that.
No, it doesn't. Because what you do is you just set up like a choreography scene with your model, and it's all like pre-rendered like animations.
Right, but what I'm saying is, why couldn't you do that on like the N64 then?
They could if they really felt like it.
No, I really don't think it was possible back then. It would have been too much.
Animation doesn't take up processing power. It takes up space on the hard drive to be able to choreograph that animation.
Or maybe that's the problem, but I don't know. Well, but yeah, there's a deaf character in the new Half-Life. Sounds like a cool nod to people out there with disabilities.
I think it'd be really cool if someone actually plays this and can understand what they're saying. That would be badass.
Well, I'm sure they're gonna either have subtitles or a voice or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just gonna be an entire character's only dialogue is the sign language.
Yeah. Okay. I can see what you mean. They probably have subtitles though.
Yeah.
Nick, what's the next story?
Safe video games. This is a really interesting article, actually.
Yeah.
There's somebody wrote an article on Kotaku about how video games don't allow people to experience the real world because you can't get hurt by them.
First of all, let's just say the cartoon at the beginning of the article is just perfect.
Yeah. But like what I'm saying is it makes a lot of sense if you think about it. Kids aren't as adventurous. Parents are more cautious about everything than ever.
Right.
Kids are sealed inside their house playing video games in an air-conditioned room where nothing in the world could possibly hurt them. And like it's just the whole aspect of the world that they're not being able to understand. They're not out there playing in the streets, falling and scraping a knee or I don't know, getting hit in the face with a soccer ball, whatever. Nothing bad or injury, no injuries can happen while playing video games. And it's a whole aspect of the world that kids just won't understand in a few generations or even now because they're so kind of put in a bubble.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I the author of this article actually at the beginning of the article is like, I remember the good old days when I was racing my friends around my backyard and split my knee open because I landed on a rock or something like that. And I had to get stitches, stuff like that. And he's like, with video games nowadays, you don't get bruises, you don't get stitches, you don't get anything. You just have a good old time in a very bubble-esque environment. And I would have to agree with that. I mean, the only time I can think of someone. Well, I can think of two times someone got injured while playing video games. One is we went to a kid in high school who came in one day with a chipped tooth, and we asked him what happened. He said his brother threw a rumble pack at him. The other time is when Nick was playing Red Steel with me, wanted to go throw a grenade, and to do that you have to throw the nunchuck, and he hit me in the frickin' back.
Good times. But like the guy says, there's no kids don't understand what like I can actually understand exactly where this article's coming from. People who are play a lot of video games, they don't understand the idea of real danger anymore. There's no they lose the concept of that because in the world of video games, there's no such thing. If you fail what you're doing and die, you just restart again. It's not that big of a deal. It's frustrating, but there's nothing. In the real world, there are things where you screw up and you get hurt and you can't just start over again. Like, there's some consequences to it.
I kind of wish I could.
So, like, yeah, exactly. So, like,
Visit with the
people don't have a real sense of what danger is anymore. There's
right.
no. And, like, the other thing, too, is that people that play a lot of video games. They think that everything has an easy solution. You know what I mean? Every problem can be solved because it was designed to be solved. You know what I mean? As far as the real world goes, there's no, like, if you run into a real problem in your life, is not necessarily an easy way out like in a video game. You know what I mean? There's always the right thing to do in the video game. In the real world, things aren't so black and white.
Right, right. I know. I had a tough time because the other day I was at the grocery store and I went to go check out, and I was looking for the code for coupons, and there was no input for the code. I tried up, up, down, down, A, B, A, B, start. That didn't work.
Did you walk out of the store with 30 lives, though?
You know what? I kind of wish I did because I needed help carrying all that shit, but no.
Yeah, right.
I completely understand where it's coming from, is that not only do kids not feel pain and understand what it is, but they also become desensitized to the idea of pain. So when they actually do experience it, basically video games are making them become wusses.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they just don't know how to deal with the real world because video games, everything's so programmed. It's like the video game knows what it wants you to do.
Yeah.
You usually understand what the video game wants you to do, and you just do it. Whereas the real world is so much open-ended. There's no clear-cut answer to everything.
Right, right.
It's very, very interesting.
It's very interesting.
People's mindsets in general are changing because of the video game age we're in.
Yeah, and it really is sad.
Yeah, which is why, I mean, you need to kind of strike a balance, you know, so people understand both ways of thinking.
Yeah. And I was actually watching the news the other day, and they were actually talking about how people nowadays are actually getting low vitamin D deficiency because they stay inside all day playing video games. They don't get outside in the sun.
Yeah, exactly. That's just another.
It's the same idea, is that people play video games too much. And granted, I stay inside indoors a lot, but I at least get out at least an hour a day. I mean, I'm not playing video games all the time. I'll be watching like DVDs and stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's like I said, it's not like I'm going to be playing Half-Life or Halo all day. I actually do get outside, which is amazing for someone with my skin pigment, because I'm like an albino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean that's a really. I mean, we could spend hours discussing this, but like,
bottom line,
definitely think it's the most interesting article we've had in a while.
Yeah, yeah, at least the most interesting study. Basically, bottom line is video games are making people wusses.
Yeah.
Why don't you bring kids to a boxing?
Just because you made conquest in World of Warcraft doesn't mean you're going to conquest in real life.
Take your kids to a hockey game. They'll understand what fighting is all about.
Yeah, right. All right, so let's move on. Next article, homes with consoles. How many homes actually do have a game console? According to this article on Kotaku, Nintendo and other developers might be a bit misleading in saying that video games are becoming mainstream. It's like having – like. A lot of video game companies are claiming that video games are almost so mainstream now, it's like having a DVD player or a TV or a VHS player or something like that. It's that mainstream. But according to this article on Kotaku, you can only find a gaming console in 40% of American households. That's hardly mainstream. I mean, I'm sure it's a lot more than it used to be, but it still has a long, long way to go before we could consider it mainstream. I'm guessing we have to get into at least the 80% range before we can start saying that it's mainstream.
I would say at least 70. But what I really want to know is, are they including portable games, portable devices as consoles? Because I know a lot of people that have like the DS, but they don't have a Wii or a 360. I think if this number doesn't include portable consoles, and I think it would be drastically higher if it did.
I honestly don't think it would go up that much, because there's not that many people out there that have, like say a DS and don't own a home console. Usually when you choose between the two, the home console is the first one you buy. That's not to say there's nobody out there like that. Like you said, I'm sure there's quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
You
just don't think it's going to go up significantly. Maybe.
I don't think it would be a significant change, because even if a portable console is the first thing that people buy, they'll almost always follow it up with a home console.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, maybe it would add another few percent marks to it, but
not enough.
Drastically.
What I really want to know is how many households have more than one console, because you know, with the Wii and everything, and the fact that people have been buying the Wiis like hotcakes, that probably skews this number quite a bit. I want to know how many people actually play their consoles or have more than one, because that'll give more of a rough estimate as to who is going to be buying the games.
Right. It's very interesting because this generation seems to be the first generation where people, a lot of people, especially gamers, are buying more than one console. Up until now, you've pretty much chosen which console you want. Back in the day, you're either a Nintendo fan or you're a Sega fan. You know what I mean? You have either an NES or a Super NES, or you have a Sega Genesis. Then you had the day, the N64. You either had an N64 or you had a PlayStation 1. Very few people had both.
Or you had a Master System, God forbid.
Yeah, right. And then even last generation, most people had a PS2, but a few people had a GameCube, and even more so probably had the Xbox once it came out,
You know,
because that became popular really quick.
my guess would be that last console was probably the first console in which it was actually a more widespread, more mainstream thing to have two consoles, because you either a lot of people who had the GameCube most likely had another system.
Right. You're right. It started to become popular, but I
But it's
think
definitely more popular now.
this generation is really where it's become common,
Yeah.
especially with the Wii.
Right.
The Wii has really been seen as, by many hardcore gamers, see the Wii as a second system almost. Like, they have their Xbox 360, most likely, I mean, PS3 for some people, but most likely a 360 as their core game system. And then the Wii is like a supplementary game system because they like the virtual console and they like Zelda and Mario and Smash Brothers and the big Nintendo titles.
Or
So like,
you could say the exact opposite, in which someone who was just getting into gaming got a Wii and then they really enjoyed it, and then they went and bought out a 360 for a bigger game selection. And
right.
I'm not saying that the 360 has a bigger game selection. I'm saying that because they have two consoles, they're now able to buy it from two different categories. And I feel
Right, and no offense, Sony here, but if you have a Wii and a 360, you can buy like 90% of all the best games on the market.
I would say the only reason I have the PS3 is if you really want to have those games like Uncharted, Uncharted 2, Metal Gear Solid, stuff like that.
Resistance, Heavy Rain, yup.
Right, stuff like that. But what I was going to say is that with the Xbox 360 and the Wii, there's just so many games that, like, I feel like this generation now more than ever, each system has their own set of games. Like, if you want like crazy old Nintendo style games, you get the Wii. Whereas if you want some really hardcore games, you get the 360. It's like, as previous consoles have, there's always those games that blend over between both consoles. But I feel like now games are either on one or the other, and I feel like that's a great reason to have two
I
consoles.
think that's a really, really interesting point you bring up, actually. I really have to agree with that because when you had, back in the day, I had my N64, I could get mature games for it, I could get kiddie games for it, I can
Right.
get sports games for it, I can get shooters for it, I can get platformers for it, you can get all kinds of games for it. But now it's like, okay, I have a Wii because I want to play platformers
Or family
and
games.
family games and old school Nintendo games, and I have a 360 because I want to play hardcore shooters, online games, and like that kind of stuff. So you're right, consoles are being divided more into the types of games that they offer, and I
Right.
think that's a really, really good point you bring up.
And like I said, it's one of the reasons why I got a 360 is because I had the Wii for like 2.5 years, and I was like, okay, this is fun, but I want to branch out and actually be able to play some other games like Gears of War and Fable, and also Resident Evil 5. I mean, that Resident Evil 5 was one of the biggest selling points of why I got a 360. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, a great game. Resident Evil's always good.
Oh man, that was awesome. But yeah, like I said, it seems like each system has their own like esoteric set of games that are hardly ever seen on the other consoles. Yes, you have your sports games. Yes, you have your Call of Duty. But for the most part, each system has their own set of console-specific games, unprecedentedly seen beforehand. And I think that's a great reason to have two consoles.
Right. I mean, like, look at the Wii. You have the majority is either old school Nintendo games and platformers.
It's really either Nintendo. It's Nintendo IPs or family games.
Right, or family games, exactly. But they do have a small selection of mature titles. The Xbox 360 is the opposite. The bulk of it is mature titles, while they do have a small selection of old school style games and family games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not to mention all the PopCap games you can download off the Xbox Live Marketplace.
Right, exactly. So, like, you're right. It's the systems are being divided more by the types of games they have. And I think it'll be interesting because it's only become a bigger thing this generation. I can't wait to see next generation, what people are expecting out of a Nintendo console, what people are expecting out of a Microsoft console, what people are expecting out of a Sony console.
You know, I find it interesting that you say what they expect out of it, because no matter how awesome it is to have one console that can buy all video games, like the N64 was, I feel it's better now because once you buy a console, you know what you're in for. Like, if I buy a Wii, I know I'm going to be playing Nintendo IPs or family games. If I buy a 360, I know I'm going to be playing hardcore games. If I know I'm going to buy a Sony, it's going to be basically all Sony IPs or extremely graphic-intensive games. Like, you more so than other consoles – than other generations. If you buy a console, you're guaranteed to know what you're in for as with game expectancies.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more there. I think we absolutely are seeing the same thinking the same way for this one.
Yeah.
So definitely got to agree with you there.
Woo! We finally agree on something.
I know, right? all right, Cody, we only got a couple stories left. What do we got?
Okay, so this one is interesting. So Best Buy is going – there's going to be a few Best Buy retail outlets across the nation that are going to test selling new unopened games at GameStop's used prices. Go.
They're going to price match GameStop's prices. So you go into GameStop, you find a game used, and if you go to Best Buy and they have that game new, they'll sell it to you for the used price that GameStop had it. It's unheard of, actually. I think it's a fantastic way, if Best Buy doesn't want to get into the used game market, to get them into the competition with the used game market. And, I mean, I was thinking – me and Cody were discussing this before.
Yeah.
It sounds too good to be true, but if you stop and think about it for a second, you got to realize that Best Buy really isn't sacrificing a whole lot with this.
Right, right.
Here's the thing. Say, all right, let's take Guitar Hero 5, for example, because I'm sure that's going to be a humongous seller when it hits the markets in September. So say Guitar Hero 5 comes out. It's in all the major stores as a new game, right? Say 2 to 3 weeks after that, it starts appearing on GameStop shelves used. So how much do you think that the used copy of the game is going to be under the new copy of the game?
You know, we were talking about this earlier, and you know, I've been thinking now, it's like, it doesn't matter when the game was made, how good it sold, or like how popular it is, it seems like every single used game is no more than $5 under retail price.
Right, because it's all relative to the demand of the product. You know what I mean? New games are in much higher demand, especially big series like Guitar Hero. So say Guitar Hero 5 appears on GameStop shelves and it's like, say, $15 less than the new version of the game, right?
Yeah.
So they find that used, go to Best Buy and get it for $15 less. On a $50 or $60 game, what is $15 to Best Buy? Knowing it's – all right, so say it was a $50 game. So you pay $35 instead. That's $35 more Best Buy has in their pocket than if you bought the game used at GameStop.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense, and it's not that much of a difference. It's not like you're finding it at GameStop for $15 going to Best Buy. And, I mean, by the time lots of copies of used games get hit GameStop shelves and – the prices begin to drop significantly. Like, say it's been 3 years and now Guitar Hero 5 is $30, right? If Best Buy even still carries Guitar Hero 5, it's certainly not flying off the shelves, and they'll be more than happy to sell you a new copy of the game at whatever price.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense, and I'm it's a very, very good marketing strategy by Best Buy, because customers do get slight discounts and they're making a killing off of GameStop.
Right. And I was actually just thinking about another point. How many times have you bought a used game worrying that it was going to be too scratched or unable to play? At least at this point, you get to buy the game at the used price, but it's a brand new copy. I mean, that's genius on their part. And then to the other point of Best Buy, as I was telling you earlier, most people know that casinos hold like boxing matches and stuff like that. And I was telling Nick, generally, most of the time, they'll give out those boxing tickets for free to VIPs and to other people. They want to sell it. They want to give away as many tickets as they can, which lures people into the casino to spend their money on other areas of the casino. And that's great for Best Buy, because they're not only getting you in with quote unquote low prices, but it gets you looking at what other stuff Best Buy has to offer. Now, with someone like me who's going to go in there just to buy a game because I don't have money, that's obviously not going to be their picture. But seriously, how many people go to Best Buy just to buy a game and not to GameStop? I mean, when I go to Best Buy, the only time I go to Best Buy to buy a game is if I have like a gift card or something.
Yeah, so, I really think it's a genius marketing strategy, because not only is Best Buy gaining money off of it, but GameStop, their competitor, is losing money on it.
Well, the other thing is that they're also getting people to spend more time in the store and getting them in the store in the first place, which could lead them to buy other products.
Yeah, very smart marketing strategy. It's not totally in effect yet. It's being tested in certain areas in certain stores right now, but if it works better than the government's Cash for Clunkers program, it'll probably be out there in no time. So,
you had to bring – that's the first politics reference I think we've ever had.
I know. I really felt the need to throw that in there.
20 episodes without a politics reference. I commend us. I commend you.
I know, right?
Stupid conservative. Okay, last story of the day. We actually picked this up right before we recorded. It's not really a story. It's just more of a like – holy crap, look at that graph type of thing. So this is an article and accompanied by a graph of the top 10 most played Wii games over basically what's been the past year. It's basically starting in September and goes till August 1st. And it lists the top 10 Wii games based on time played. And let's just go down some of these. And there's a lot of shockers. So I'm just going to say them in order from 1 to 10. Super Smash Bros. Brawl, Guitar Hero 3, Animal Crossing, Fire Emblem, Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, Call of Duty World at War, Harvest Moon, Rock Band 2, Ruined Factory, Frontier, and Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga. Now, the first thing I thought was, holy crap, there are still that many people playing Guitar Hero 3. But then what's even more amazing to me and Nick is that Guitar Hero World Tour is not even in this, and it's touted as selling more copies than Rock Band 2, but Rock Band 2 still is in the top 10 most played games over the past year.
All right, so I have a lot of stuff to say about this. So if you bear with me for a second. Rock Band 2 – hey, shut up. Rock Band 2 surprised the hell out of me that it's on this chart.
It surprised everyone.
Because – all right. It always seemed to me that Guitar Hero had more of a following on the Wii than Rock Band did, right? For a few reasons. One, Rock Band 1 on the Wii was a total piece of crap. It had no downloadable content, pre-rendered backgrounds, and no create a character. It was the bare bones of Rock Band, and it didn't sell that great. Problem number two is that Guitar Hero World Tour... All right, problem number two is that Guitar Hero had already built up a huge following because of Guitar Hero 3 was the first one of these games to hit Wii, first like rhythm music game, guitar game, to hit the Wii, and it already developed a huge following. Number three is the fact that World Tour was released 2 months earlier on the Wii than Rock Band 2. The Wii version of Rock Band 2 only came out in late December, even though the 360 version of it came out in September. Whereas Guitar Hero World Tour came out on every console in October. So that's two more months of Guitar Hero World Tour on the Wii than Rock Band 2. I mean, I say to anybody that Rock Band 2 is a way better game than Guitar Hero World Tour. Way more thought out. You could tell that they knew more what they were doing than World Tour. I just didn't think that – I mean, so many people jumped at the gun just to get any band game on the Wii. I'm just really surprised that Rock Band 2 is actually beating Guitar Hero World Tour in sales. It just shows that people know a good game when they see it.
You know, my answer to that is the fact that Rock Band 2 actually on the 360 came out a month and a half before World Tour did on any of the systems. So it is possible that people saw how good it was on the 360 and waited for it. But the other thing is that this chart only tracks Rock Band playtime over the past 5 months, and it totaled out to 41 hours, which means people have been playing this 8 hours a month, which if you're a casual player, that's a lot of hours.
Well, here's another good point. I know I've put tons of time into Rock Band 2. I can guarantee you that I put way more time into Rock Band 2 than any other game on the Wii that I own. But the thing with Rock Band 2 is that the Wii version of Rock Band 2 is comparable with the 360 and PS3 versions. Other than the HD and graphical difference, it's the same game. And especially as far as the downloadable content goes, which is almost – the Rock Band 2 store on the Wii is very close to being completely caught up with the 360 and PS3 versions. You have over 400 songs, close to 500 songs available to download. I mean, that's a huge playtime extension when you compare it to World Tour, which only has like what, 40, maybe 50 songs available for download?
No. World Tour's probably got 100, but Rock Band probably has more because they were their goal was to hit 500 by last Christmas, and they did hit it. They hit it well before Christmas. So my guess is there's probably at least 600 to 700 on
right
it now.
Much more of a selection, many more songs that people are like, oh, I need to get that song. I love that song. You know, I can understand why playtime has increased because Rock Band 2 is really the never-ending game. It's why they haven't released any new Rock Bands up until this September. It'll be a full year since the last Rock Band came out. Because it really is the never-ending game. Not only is the downloadable content, but the way the tour mode is set up, there's just so much to it that you can play it for hours and hours and hours and hours and not even scratch the surface of all the different venues, all the different songs, all the different challenges, online challenges. They have online challenges every day on Rock Band 2, something that Guitar Hero doesn't offer. On Guitar Hero World Tour, you can beat the career mode in a matter of, what, 3 hours maybe? Whereas in Rock Band 2, you can play literally for weeks and not even come close to beating it. So I can see why there's a lot more playtime put into a game like that.
I'm looking at this chart, and I think I just realized something. This is not the total hours spent over the past year. I think these times are actually – the graph is showing how long each game was spent during that month, which means people have been putting 40 hours in a month to Rock Band 2. That's even that blows my mind.
All right, and here's one other thing too. One other major surprise on this chart, Call of Duty World at War, Wii version.
Why is that surprising though?
Because, all right, the Wii version, Wii has been so left out of Call of Duty, it's not even funny.
That's probably why this one is the most played.
Well, what I'm saying is we had a crappy as shit port of Guitar Hero 3.
Call of Duty 3.
I mean, Call of Duty 3. Wow, I'm still on my Guitar Hero kit. We had a horribly crappy port of Call of Duty 3. Call of Duty 4 never even made it onto the Wii. Call of Duty World at War is the first one to hit. Graphics are not really anything spectacular, but it's the first Wii Call of Duty to have online support, which is pretty big. So I almost wonder that seeing that there's so people play so much of Call of Duty World at War, why hasn't Activision pushed more to get another Call of Duty on the Wii?
They are.
But Modern Warfare isn't coming out for the Wii.
Yeah, it is. I found an article the other day saying Modern Warfare 2 is coming to the Wii.
Yeah, I know, but it's not going to be at the same time. You
No.
know what I mean?
Oh, I didn't see that. I just saw the headline.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it might be in the early stages of its development if it is coming to the Wii, but like I mean, with enough online play like that, I mean, it's obvious that Wii players are begging for some good online titles. And I mean, Call of Duty is a fantastic online title, so I really think that Activision should check into that because that's a major franchise that, I mean, the Wii's pretty, it's not going to look as gorgeous on the 360 and PS3, but from what I've played of World of War on the Wii, it's a pretty good game. Like, it's, other than maybe The Conduit, I think it's the best first-person shooter on the Wii.
Yeah, I still have issues with the conduit.
I know, but on a console that has so few first-person shooters, you can't really argue with the fact that it's probably the best.
That's a good point. And yeah, you might be right about it's not coming out at the same time because I can't find a release. I can't even find a release date on GameStop of when
Yeah,
this game
it's
came out.
rumored to be in development. A Wii version is rumored to be in development, but like, if I were Activision, I mean, they get Guitar Hero to come out on the Wii every time, right alongside the 360 and PS3 versions. I would have pushed more. Get another dev. I heard, well, Treyarch is going to be the company behind Modern Warfare 2 on the Wii. Why couldn't.
Really? Oh, that's gonna suck then.
Well, Treyarch did World of War at the Wii on the Wii, and that wasn't too bad.
Dude, Treyarch does shit, okay? They just copy everything that Infinity Ward does.
If they're
We're not even
so
gonna
good at.
get into this
What
discussion.
I'm saying is, if they're so good at copying Infinity Ward, why couldn't they say, okay, Infinity Ward, do what you do with Guitar Hero, split up the studios. Infinity Ward does the 360 and PS3 versions of Call of Duty, and Treyarch should handle the Wii version, and all they need to do is copy what Infinity Ward's doing, just shape it up a little bit better so that it presents better and works good on the Wii. You know what I mean? Same thing with the Guitar Hero series that they already do. NeverSoft takes care of the 360 and PS3 versions, and Vicarious Visions does the Wii version. It seems to work good for that series. I think with a series as big of Call of Duty and something that's obviously pretty popular still, according to this chart, I think that they should put a little more effort into it.
I have nothing to say about Call of Duty. I'm done.
Okay, well, I guess that's the end. Just one other thing I wanted to mention. The
Okay.
complete set list for Guitar Hero 5 and
Yes.
Guitar Hero Van Halen have been released. You can find them online. We'll post something about it in the show notes. We don't, I mean, we're not just gonna sit here and go over the whole set list.
We could if you want us to, but Nick has to
Guitar
go.
Hero Van Halen got a release date December 22nd. I'm wondering. I heard it was supposed to be built around the World Tour engine, but I'm not
How's it
sure
looking?
about that now. It looks more like it's built around the Guitar Hero 5 engine, which I think would be a good move on their part. So, because I mean, the World Tour engine was nice, but it had a lot of bugs that need to be worked out.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think if they move it to the Guitar Hero 5 engine, it's probably not a bad idea. Seeing that it's coming out 4 months after Guitar Hero 5, there's no excuse not to. So, check out
Nick,
the set list online. There's some pretty good stuff.
Nick, where can you find our show notes?
You can find your show notes at our blog,
Which
actually,
is?
at thebrpodcast.blogspot.com.
Okay, and where can you email us?
You can email us at thebrpodcast@gmail.com.
And where can you follow me on Twitter?
I don't care.
You can follow me, my username is @TheBeast33. I usually post stuff on the blog every week. Post when the episodes are up, stuff like that. So if you want to get the latest and greatest of us, just follow me on Twitter. And you know what? I think that's going to do it for our show.
About it. All right. Well, I'll see you later.
Bye.